Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good, and his steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. Let us worship God. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness. Let us pray. O God, our Father, the author and giver of all good things, we thank thee for all thy mercies and for thy loving care for all thy creation. We thank thee for friendship and duty, for good hopes and precious memories, for the joys that cheer us and the trials that lead us to trust in thee. Most of all, we thank thee for thy perpetual coming to us in Jesus Christ, the Lord, and for the peace, love, and hope which he offers in thy name. Amen. Let us pray. O God, our Father, we pray for thy church, which is set today amid the perplexities of a changing order and face to face with a great new task. Grant her a new birth, though it be with the travail of repentance and humiliation. Bestow upon her a responsiveness to duty, a swifter compassion with suffering, and an utter loyalty to the will of God. Put upon her lips the ancient gospel of her Lord. Fill her with the Christ-like tenderness for the heavy laden and downtrodden. Give her faith to espouse the cause of the people, and in her hands that grope after freedom and light to recognize the bleeding hands of the Christ. Bid her cease from seeking her own life, lest she lose it. Make her valiant to give up her life to humanity, that like her crucified Lord, she may mount by the path of the cross to a higher glory. Amen. It seems almost impossible in a few minutes, brief minutes that we have this morning, to try to describe to you what takes place over the course of a month in what was a very stimulating and provocative seminar last summer. Basically, all we can do is more or less tell you the name of what we've done, a very brief summary of what it's like, and then give you possibly a little bit of insight into the nature of the specific projects some of the students had. The seminar on urban studies is sponsored jointly by the Home Mission Board, the DC Baptist Convention, and Southeastern Seminary. Its main purpose was to grapple with the nature of the church and what is developing into the major population centers around this country, which are termed metropolitan areas. There are three main approaches to our study. The first area of concern was Christian dialogue with international and the interfaith community, a very perplexing but growing reality of our metropolitan centers. The second area of concentration was the community resources available for human need. What are these resources? How do we get in contact with them? How does the church implement the use of these resources? And the third area was the specific types of ministries that are needed in a metropolitan area. What becomes the service mission of the church? For those interested in going this summer to Washington, D.C. for this study, application blanks are now in the registrar's office. They should be completed by the end of March, at which time 800 $1,000 scholarships will be announced for the students. We will now have a brief report on three of the projects that were completed last summer.
First, I would like to express my appreciation to our seminary, to the Home Mission Board, and the D.C. Baptist Convention for the privilege of being a part of this pilot project of urban metropolitan missions. To me, it was quite an experience to go and to associate with Roman Catholics, with ministers of the Episcopal Church, the Methodists, the Baptist Church there in Washington, D.C. We tried and wanted to learn what they were doing in trying to reach the masses, at the same time to see what course of action our own denomination could take in this respect. I found for the first time in my life that other people are doing something besides us Baptists. It was quite an experience to be there and to see some of the programs that, for instance, the Roman Catholics were doing there in the Anacostia area of Washington, D.C. I was pleased to meet many of these ministers. They would invite me into their studies, explain some of the programs that they were doing, and also share some of the burden of their compassion for these people who were so less fortunate. In the Anacostia area of Washington, D.C., this is the southeast section. It is a racially changing area. In the past 10 years, it has changed from a 92% white population to a 92% Negro population. So you can imagine what a crisis this area is in. Now, we have heard so much many times from ministers talking about they would like to move somewhere where there is a challenge. Well, if you want a challenge, I have never in my life been confronted with one like I saw in the southeast section of Washington, D.C. Now, since the turn of the century, to bring us up to date on just what is happening too in the cities, our population has actually doubled since the turn of the century. We had something like 35% of our national population living in the urban and metropolitan area at the turn of the century. Today, according to our little book that was taught in missions, we have something 70-some percent. Now, if there has ever been a challenge to ministers, I think truly this is the challenge. I was also pleased to know that there are people who are concerned. They're trying to meet this tremendous task that is before them. Hopefully that they can come up with something to witness. For instance, in one area there, we had approximately 99% of the people not even affiliated with any church at all. Now, this is a challenge to anyone to try to minister to these people. And they tell us today in America there are approximately 75 million unchurched people. And it is my opinion that these people are living in the urban areas of our cities in our country. Consequently, there is a great need for leadership. Most of you are familiar with our 500 project that is before us now in our Southern Baptist denomination. Hopefully that we can get trained leaders to go into these places. First, we have to have the money. But without the money, we can't go. Without the trained leaders, we would do nothing when we got there. So I am hopefully that we have men in our seminary here who will accept this challenge. I think it's a wide open field. Certainly, if you want to get a first-hand view, go to Washington. Apply for one of the scholarships that is available. It might be that you can't get one of the scholarships, and I would just pass this information along to you. I didn't apply for one of the scholarships, But I wanted to go. I talked with my deacons in my church. They gave me my convention money, and I went to Washington in place of going to the convention in Miami. And it was money well spent. I was grateful. I hope we will have the ministers to fill these 500 new places that our denomination will soon open. I remember year before last when the chaplain of the military came and mentioned on our campus that Uncle Sam needed 600 ministers. And I immediately punched the boy next to me in class. I said, well, that's easy. I said, all he has to do is just draft them. Then about that time, he came back with something that cut me down to about that size when he said, God will call those 600 men. I feel that God is going to play a big part in the calling of these men for these 500 new areas of work. And I hope that our seminary will supply a great number of these men. It is a tremendous challenge. And a man cannot face this challenge unless he's equipped. And I'm proud that our seminary has taken a part in trying to equip 500 people to go out and meet this tremendous challenge that's before us.
When I think of the Washington study, a kaleidoscope of recollections come to mind. So many things packed into 4 weeks. The field trips that included the highlights of the city of Washington, the embassies, the Congress, the contact with other faiths and ideologies, the coffee house and a conversation with Gordon Cosby, the late at night forays to DuPont Circle, where we met the hippie, the pseudo-hippie, and just plain lonely and lost people, the traffic, and the morning struggle from the suburbs to the inner city. Now, this alone gave me some sense of compassion for the commuter, if nothing else. But from my own particular line of study, it was Cardozo that stands out. The topic of my research, the local church and community resources for the ministry to the economically and socially depressed, led me naturally to this area of Washington. It is an area of low-value homes, of old housing, and few single-family units. The average level of education is below high school. The level of income is on the average among the lowest in the city, and the number of working women among the highest in the city. There are approximately 12,000 families in Cardozo who fall within the poverty definition. In the Catholic magazine Sign of January 1966, Arthur McNally describes this region. Cardozo is a neighborhood where mothers give their children nickels and dimes so that they can buy their own meals of soda and candy. It is a neighborhood to which the supermarkets ship all their inferior goods. It is a neighborhood where one-third of the youngsters who enter Cardozo High School drop out before their senior year, where the crime rate is the highest in the city, where all the elements that produced riots in Harlem and Watts wait for a spark to touch off a similar explosion here. Cardozo and 4 weeks of rambling around in the midst of these people that make up Cardozo. Satisfying, challenging, exciting, the most valuable 4 weeks that I have ever spent. I could say all of these things, and I shall, all and more about this experience. I certainly hope that those who would want to feel that you are getting involved in something that is happening that you would involve yourself in this project this summer, the summer seminar in Washington, D.C.
It was my happy privilege as a part of this same seminar to be able to grapple with the workings of four churches who are trying together to minister creatively and responsibly to an inner city community. This was called the Columbia Heights Church and Community Project, and the board of directors of four churches plus some social agencies in the area worked together to provide this ministry. The churches were of differing denominations, Baptist, Unitarian, Presbyterian, and Methodist, and a real joy from the privilege of working in the area came from observing the workings of each individual church and their differing levels of social responsibility and vision. It was a privilege to also talk with the pastors in the area to notice what strategies they were involved in, what urban training centers that they had attended, the books that they were reading in order to come with some strategy to work in the particular community. These four churches, I think, provided me an opportunity to see a real responsible and creative ministry that is not so much program-centered as it is person-centered. And it surprised me that they had as their goal not only the care for the individual and the hope that souls will be saved, as we say it, but they were really concerned about servanthood. And this seemed to be the goal of their ministry. I think that I have never had an experience that so much influenced me as this one seminar, particularly, I think, because I had never before been out of North Carolina, and I think I was a joke in Washington all the time because of this, always having to give an explanation for where I had been at night and so on by everyone. But it was a real eye-opener to walk among the midst of those people who are really in need and to communicate with pastors who were really trying to understand the need and effect some strategies toward the end of those, toward that end. I think that it would not be too dramatic to say that this was a kind of new birth for me, because it left me with a new vision of the compassion that ministers need to have in working with people of great need. It has caused me to be more critical of our denomination's involvement in urban strategies. It has caused me to take more seriously the local community in which I work as a pastor and to see the creative responsibilities that I can have in working in such a place as this, and to probably do some graduate work in order to get some tools to work with people in need. But all of this is real nice, but having grown up in a pastor's home and working as a minister myself a little, I know that there are other areas of concern for those who are in the ministry, not the least of which is material gain, and this seminar offers that. Because when I got back, I had an opportunity to talk to many WMUs who were concerned about what is going on in the big city, and I was heavily or spicily rewarded with 7 bottles of Old Spice, talc, and cologne. So it was materially rewarding as well as a real boost spiritually.
May the love of God our Father and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen.